In case you don't follow any spellings from the podcast, please visit patreon.com/Joshua Balata. That's B-A-L-A-T-A. You'll have access to notes and episode descriptions over there. Thank you for checking in today, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the place where people talk about internships and lately about jobs as well. Today's guest is Ethan Brown, one of the most active students I've seen in business school. Ethan is an American student in France and has worked with consulting companies during his internship year. I remember working with Ethan on a couple of videos for his business case competitions, which we will get to in a bit. Thanks for joining us, Ethan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a little gray here in Lille, but that's the weather here. It's kind of like London. We're not too far away, about an hour by train.
Right. One of the hallmark traits about Ethan is his language. You can say that he's American thanks to his English. And we'll spend some time on this language bit because it's important when you're competing in France. Ethan learned French to fluency over a year. He's been here for more than a year, but when I met him back when I was in my first year, he was struggling to make sentences, I'm being honest, but in a couple of months, he picked it up like it's nobody's business. What happened, Ethan? What's your mantra for language learning?
So for that, for me, it was starting the new year. I came to France in fall 2016. Mm-hmm. And when you get here, you think you're going to get started. You think you're going to really learn the language. It doesn't happen automatically. There's right. just this time to transfer that your brain kind of picks up the switch and paradigm. Right. So for me, in the new year in 2017, I really kind of focused myself and mm-hmm. said, all right, well, let's get started, because as an opportunity at EDEC, we have the gap year. Mm-hmm. So like many students and Josh yourself, I had to do a gap year starting in July. So I started looking for jobs, and whenever you want to get a job in France, you need to speak French.
Right.
So I really started practicing at this point, but at the same time, I had the chance that my company was more looking for an international than they were looking for someone that could speak French, mm-hmm. because the majority of the work was done internationally.
Right.
So during the process, we spoke some French, but the entire interview process was in English.
It was in English, okay. But during your stay at EDEC, I mean, this comes from my experience as well. The life at EDEC is entirely in English, you know, even with the French students. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. So if you don't want to speak French, you're not going to have to ever.
Yeah.
I mean, but to build the personal relationships, you do. Mm-hmm. Like it's like in the US, if we were speaking a different language all day in classes, and then when class is over, the bell rings, you switch back to your natural language. Same thing with French people.
Right. When I came here in the first year, my French was not the best either. And I forced myself to speak with French students in French. And they were thinking that they are being kind by speaking to me in English. Actually, they weren't. But also they wanted to, you know, polish up their English, because they always spoke French with all of their friends. So the moment I got into a group conversation and tried to squeeze in my French, it got into English so quick, you know. So unless I really forced it, and I got tired at a point, and I actually would go to another place in Lille to practice my French, because at EDEC it was just next to impossible.
Well, but that's what happens. So you were asking me before, how do you start picking up French? Well, you have to speak with people that don't have the same level of English or a high level of English, I'm going to say.
Right.
Because whenever you're talking to your friends and you're hanging out and you're talking about movies, films, dinner, getting drinks, at a certain moment, your friends are tired. They don't want to make the effort. They know it would be easier for them to deal with it in English. They just switch to English. You can't blame them.
Yeah, you can't blame them. Yeah, right.
And so you have to, when you're at this beginning level, you have to surround yourself with people that can't make that switch, mm-hmm. that are willing to dig in with you and try to help you out and figure those kind of problems out. But whenever you reach a certain level, we'll see between B1 or B2 in this, when you speak orally, there's not that problem anymore, because you're able to express yourself clearly enough that, for example, year one, I didn't speak enough French at all to do anything, mm-hmm. and everyone always switched to English. Year two, my friends stay in French and do not change. And it's actually sometimes frustrating because they move their French to a higher level of French, which is more like they talk with their friends in a relationship and they make jokes and cultural references that they wouldn't have made before.
Right.
So you're always being challenged to move to that next level of understanding.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad you brought up that that topic about your internship. And I had the similar experience when I was working in Paris. My internship told me, the HR told me that I need to speak fluently in French before I got into the internship. But once I started, I noticed that I didn't use it at all. I mean, with friends, yes. And with my boss, sometimes occasionally in French, yes. But for the most part, my internship was entirely in English. It was the same case with you as well?
So for me, I worked in English because I worked for a company that was called that's called Groupe Seb.
Mm-hmm.
In the US, it's a little less known for the brands like Tefal, Moulinex. And then it's those brands are really well known in France, Rowenta, Calor. So around 18%, I think maybe it's 20% of their revenue is made in France. So they're a really globally focused company.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with the Central Digital Acceleration team for trying to advance the level of digital inside of the company. But the company is a lot of the company is based outside of France.
Right.
So for me, a lot of these calls I did or working with different country leaders, or when we organized a conference for all the heads of e-commerce, this was all done in English. So mm-hmm. when I talk to my coworkers, whenever I maybe had a presentation at the headquarters, if I wanted, I was focusing on French. At the same time, everyone spoke a level of English that no one had a problem and they had an open spirit.
Right.
It's that kind of company where you say tu to everyone, which is a big deal in France.
That it is, yeah. It's as you just pointed out, it's important to go out of your comfort zone and actually try to speak to them to begin that relationship. And once it's there, then they keep challenging you with the next level. Did you face the same problem as an Anglophone? I faced this problem that I wouldn't hear the French sentences or the words because half of it is not pronounced. And their expressions, that's not textbook level expressions. They have these slang expressions which you don't know what it means, but everyone else knows exactly what it means. You know, did you face this problem as well?
So for me, those are two separate problems because understanding slang is going to always be an issue. But in fact, the way that I have a little less issue with that is I learned French just orally.
Mm-hmm.
So I never took classes for writing.
Right.
I learned it in a bar with my friends, at parties, or at work. So whenever I'm in French talking about these types of things, I have a really deep level of competency. But whenever we get out of these kind of subject areas, my competency goes a lot lower. But these things I didn't practice in writing. All the documents were produced in English. I never had the opportunity to pay for classes to write in French. I mean, you can always do the free stuff where you're practicing with your friends. It's amazing. It really advances you orally. But at a moment, you hit a wall with writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you were talking about these missing letters or missing syllables, I have the opposite problem because I don't know they're there to put them there when I'm writing. So it's kind of however you learn the language that you have those kind of issues.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I learned French the same way as well. So in most cases, the sentences that I made were so informal that I couldn't use it in a meeting setup when I was doing meetings with my boss and so on, you know, because for me, it seemed normal and it sounded normal because everyone said it and no one objected. And all of a sudden, when you're in a formal setup, I struggled with, you know, talking extremely formally with people and using the distant vocabulary kind of thing, you know, I'd struggled with that as well. I'm guessing with you too.
Well, so I use it now more that I'm doing interviews with companies. And yeah, it's something that makes me nervous because it's a vocabulary and grammar that I don't use very often.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have to do that one other handicap on top of having to speak a second language, have to thinking to a response for the interview questions, and then on top of the second language going, oh, but I never use this version of the language, it gets harder.
Yeah.
It makes you nervous.
Yeah. No, I didn't really think about this in English either because I've been speaking English for a long time now. But there's such a huge difference between the language we speak with our friends and the one we speak in an interview.
Yeah.
And in French, this is really present as well. It's nothing like the way you would speak with your friends or at home, isn't it?
Yeah. And then it's weird sometimes whenever you're working in groups on different projects, someone will put a sentence out there that's very formal and you're like, I'm sorry, I thought we were friends. Like, what is this?
And
this barrier, this distance. And sometimes in English, it's a very flexible barrier. In French, it's very hard. It's vous or tu. So, I mean, it's very apparent in French society, this barrier, and the contrast between work and formal and play and friends. So, yeah, I completely agree with what you're talking about.
So, if an American student is coming over to study in France to do his business and all of his classes are in English, then you would suggest that he went out of his way to speak French with his friends in bars or maybe in an informal setup because that's how you picked it up as well.
Well, I mean, there was an article I read the other day that directly links alcohol consumption and learning a foreign language. Because in fact, cultures that are a lot more open and do not focus on being perfect have a greater ability to learn the language. So I know for me as an American from the South, I only had 1 year of foreign language, but at the same time, I had in high school is when I only had 1 year of foreign language. At the same time, my culture is a culture that accepts making errors, accepts not being perfect. And whenever you put that on top of the possibility of just being normal, relaxed, and getting out of your comfort zone to talk, and I mean, maybe it's around a glass of beer, or maybe it's for the game night with your friends chilling in an apartment. That's the only way to get that first barrier broken.
Right.
I mean, sitting in your room, writing in a textbook, listening to podcasts, those help. But I mean, a real life person is what breaks that first barrier.
So what you're saying is it would appeal to a person if you actually spoke like a regular French person instead of reading out what you read in the textbook,
But
right?
a textbook is never the same as talking to a person.
Right,
I
right.
mean, in English, we have that sometimes, but in France, it's 100% apparent.
So guys, Ethan is also known for taking part in a series of business games during his stay in business school. He took part in this thing called the KPMG International Competition. In this competition, Ethan and his friends competed against 10 French schools. HEC was one of them, and they won the competition and they represented France in the international competition in Lisbon. And since that has happened, Ethan's team at EdX has been called the dream team, you know. And they are known for working hard and for bringing results because Ethan was not only a part of this, but we won't go into detail to how many business games he's been a part of. But he did another one, which was conducted by Bain and Company at ATC. Ethan and his team ended up winning that one as well, and they were competing against 250 other students. What was this experience like, Ethan? Why, back when I was in the first year, you were two. Back at that time, I didn't even know what a business game was. But what drove you towards this? How did you learn of it, and why did you choose to apply for these business games?
So that's something that goes directly to my personality. I know everyone has their strengths, weaknesses. For me, one of the reasons that I chose EdX Business School was the opportunity that I had here, and not putting just our test results as the number one factor on the table as our entrance into the school. For me, I barely passed with the GMAT standards for getting into EdX. And EdX welcomed me with open arms, telling me I was already accepted as long as I passed the minimum acceptance requirements for the GMAT. But where I fail in some ways of being weak in exams, where I'm by myself, there's a time constraint, there's questions that I feel like I'm out of my depth to answer. I feel 100% the opposite than that whenever you said something about being in a team. And that's whenever. All my success from anything that I've done while my experience at EdX has been in teams, wherever you can do a mix of different level of people's skills and competencies. You feel you're boosting each other because of each other's personality, their professionalism, just their confidence under pressure, and just the sheer challenge that you have to all rise to together, and knowing that you can build something as a team, and you're not sit there in your corner all alone, just having to figure it out. And so everyone has their different personality, but for mine, my best achievements came through whenever I was in groups. So I followed this through. We saw opportunity. I was notified in the first year at EdX around December. I think I was on Christmas vacation. It was an EdX consulting club, and people were passing around a Facebook invitation for an event. And we got a team together. I didn't know, I knew of the other couple people in the team beforehand, but didn't really know them. And we made a team together. We didn't think we won the first case at all, but we had a great time. Turns out we won the first competition at EdX for KPMG. We went to the second round. We practiced a lot beforehand. We gave it our best. Still complete shock and utter breathlessness to realize we won again. And so just that, it's that sheer thrill of putting together a team, knowing that you're working towards something that's really hard, and filling in each other's weaknesses with each other's strengths. And I mean, that's the most fun that I've had while at EdEc, is these business games, these competitions. And once you learn of one, you learn of another. There are a lot of, this is a new thing that a lot of companies are doing to help their help students and young candidates stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, no, I had the same experience at EdEc myself, apart from the studies part, which is not my favorite either. We spend so much time with teams, creating teams for every subject, and every assignment, a different teammate will behave in a different way, you know. And then you learn these social codes for a Chinese person, maybe for an American person, for a German person, which I never was exposed to before. And those things happened later on, thanks to EdEc. During your internship year, Ethan, you worked with TNP and the SEB group that you spoke about. Mm-hmm. What was your experience like overall? Both of these were in France, so you'll be affording an international student's perspective in France. What was your experience like? We swiftly went through the language part, and given that at SEB you spoke for the most part in English. But apart from that, what was your experience like?
So for me, when I took my job at Group Zeb, it was the opportunity to also work with a very traditional French company that was trying to go through a transformation. Mm-hmm. And being in that conservative culture, which is not conservative, but traditionalist culture, mm-hmm. that is sometimes very much French, but also a point of a transformation of change, you have to learn two things. How do you talk to someone that knows they've been doing the same thing for 100 years, not the company itself, and they've been making a 10% margin, profit's not an issue, maybe growth is not as well as in the digital age. How do you take this digital language, vocabulary, competencies, but they just see it as posting on Facebook and Twitter or YouTube? Mm-hmm. They don't see it as more than that. And so how do you take that and instill it inside of a company and teach that traditionalism can also develop into new traditions? So that was an amazing opportunity. It also teaches you how to be patient, because as a digital native, sometimes we think is the best way to think about it is trying to help your grandparents with a piece of technology that they just don't understand. Whenever it's your grandparents, you put your heart into it, or you don't, but depends on the subject. But I mean, most of the time you put your heart into it because it's your grandparents. Whenever you're doing it for a company, you've got to learn how to put your heart into it. And so that was a big thing to learn there, is just that patience and how to move digital forward still in the traditional sense that the company had, mm-hmm. and they were wanting to keep for the future. TNP Consultants is a young consulting firm that's a little bit over 10 years old now. They were hiring for an opportunity in their startup accelerator, Gate 31. So they were willing to take a risk on an American whose level of French was a little bit lower then, mm-hmm. because I was referred to by a friend. And I don't know, in the US, I haven't had an opportunity to work for many companies, but I know in France, you got to know people. You got to build your network. Even just doesn't get you the job, but it gets you in to do an interview. And right. That's where you can make the difference. So at TNP, I had the opportunity to work in another exciting part of the company, a new startup accelerator they were launching, but in consulting.
Right.
So learning, one, how to be the client, and two, how to be the consultant inside the situation really helped. Mm-hmm. Especially working for a company before doing consulting. In consulting, you learn there's new technologies and new opportunities to do everything, whether it's just a small, what people call an MVP, a minimally viable product, mm-hmm. or moving into full-scale implementation of a new program or a pilot opportunity that a company's been working with. Mm-hmm. So seeing both sides of the equation, it was super exciting. I got to be a little more digitally pure at TNP. Mm-hmm. So that's super exciting, working with startups, seeing the world of consulting from the inside and not just from what we hear in the classroom.
In the classroom.
So there was a lot of things, a lot of the gap year is an opportunity that we get at EdX that you really need to embrace and not just say, well, I'm going to go to Thailand for 3 or 4 months and then maybe find one internship and do another at the end of my studies. For me, I ingrained myself completely in. At TNP, I spoke only French, which was a really hard thing to do. But for example, TNP signed me for what is called a CDD, a short-term contract at the end of my internship, because I had been working on something with a startup during my internship and they knew I had 3 or 4 months free. I got a salary boost, the opportunity to stay in Paris in the summertime, which is one of the best times to be there. And to add that to my professionalism and just my personal feeling of gratitude of, hey, I can move beyond this internship with the same company. Right. So there was a lot of experiences that I got to have during the gap year.
Well, that's nice. So they offered you a CDD after your regular 6 months got over? Is that
yeah.
it? Okay, got it. So during your internship with TNP, you briefly touched about the fact that you need to know people. And I think that's really true because that happened with me as well. The scores of companies that I applied with did not respond or immediately responded with a negative response. And the one time I applied through someone who gave me a recommendation, I instantly got an interview call. And the conversion was on me, but at least I got the invitation call, you know, and then it turned out to work for me. So I'm glad that you pointed that out as well. Is that how it worked out with you for SEB as well?
SEB, for Group Seb, I was there. There's two ways of doing getting jobs in France. So one we talked about was knowing people. The other one is also related to your school, is being really engaged in your career network at school. So for me, at EdX, we had, I think it's called Job Teaser. On Job Teaser, normally you have your profile, you can try to find jobs. Some of the jobs there are exclusively just for your school, which are the best jobs to apply for because they're reserved just for EdX students. Or the other thing is, it's sometimes not the best because there's a lot of limited postings. Mm-hmm. But what you don't realize is companies use it not just for postings, they use it when they can't find candidates to fill their roles.
Right.
So for me, I was quote unquote headhunted by a company through Job Teaser because my profile was on EdX, my CV was up to date. I had a nice description of myself and they asked me to apply for the job at Group Seb. I didn't even look for it.
Oh, okay.
So there's two ways of being engaged with your school career opportunities, whether it's the career center, the online career portal, the networking events, or just making sure that you're talking to everyone and making sure that they know you're looking for a job. And for example, one thing that happens at EdX that I've never seen before, but I think is absolutely hilarious, is there are specific Facebook groups for the entire promotion for the class. We're talking 800 students in one promo, in one promotion. And normally you have the four promotions in the same Facebook group. And I've never seen so many job postings that were never posted publicly in my life that were posted on this. Because in fact, what would normally happen is EdX students would tell all of their EdX friends that to apply to this job. And then the companies try to balance out the jobs for each school. So in fact, to have another EdX student apply for this job is a great thing because it keeps the balance for the company.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways to get involved.
Right. No, I was really startled by that myself. And how can this be taken seriously? And they are addressing you so informally. Are you interested in technology? Then you should apply in this company. You know, they're addressing you so informally on these Facebook groups, these closed Facebook groups. And it's definitely is an advantage.
But in fact, it's sometimes on the job contract. And for one of the job contracts I saw, they want you to find your replacement in order to successfully finish the internship. So it's crazy.
That's interesting, yeah. You briefly touched about that you were the only non-French speaking consultant, junior consultant at TNP. What was the international mix like?
So I wasn't the only non-French speaking consultant at TNP, but I will definitely say I was the lowest level non-French-speaking consultant at TNP. So the international mix at TNP, it's a very young company. Like I said, it's about 10 years old. I had a team of young French people in their 20s, 30s, with Italians, Chinese. I have had several team members from countries in Africa. And this is just for the branch in industry and service. In other offers of the company, it's different, and sometimes it's a little more French, and especially like for banking and investment banking, retail banking, investment banking. But for my team, it was highly diverse. I mean, talking to my boss sometimes was, for certain missions, she was Italian. It was the first time in my life that I spoke a language that neither of us, it was our native language to communicate.
Right.
Okay, when you're speaking to a French, you speak French, but just know that for your Italian friend, it was actually easier because of their level of English and your level of French to just communicate in French. It's just mind-blowing.
That's crazy. And there was the same case at SEB as well, Group SEB?
Group SEB was for... I had the opportunity of working in the digital department, so that was really young. Little less diverse in some parts of the company, super diverse in others. I wasn't the only non-French speaking individual working at Group SEB. I know other people that they were hired with the CDE, which is the permanent contract, because they wanted this type of person for a role working with other countries, one of their countries being their native language. And the company had no problem if you didn't speak French, because they realized, besides working with your coworkers, you wouldn't need to speak French. And for that, the company could pay for someone to come a few times a week and help you with your French. If you find the right person for the job, companies are starting to realize, at least in France, to diversify a little bit. And I didn't know it, but before the last 5 years, France still has been very traditional when it comes to when you're in France, you speak French.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with that cultural identity.
Right. Well, Ethan said a short while ago that he, when he was at TNP, he was the worst French-speaking junior consultant. I think you should take that with a grain of salt, because although he says he was the worst, I don't think he's anywhere close to incompetent with expressing himself. To do a quick demo, I didn't tell him about this, and that's what we're going to do now. Ça fait combien de temps que tu parles en français, Ethan?
Mais pour moi, ça a été depuis 3 ans maintenant. Mais parfois, je fais des fautes. Mais moi, j'ai appris français ici. Je parle avec un accent un peu français, un peu... C'est ni américain ni français, c'est bizarre.
C'est entre les deux.
C'est entre les deux. Et parfois, j'ai des Français qui disent « Mais Ethan, je ne comprends pas d'où tu viens. Parce que tu parles comme un français, mais tu fais des fautes. Un français ne va pas faire. »
That part was completely improv. Ethan didn't know that we were going to talk in French, and you see he has no trouble in expressing himself. And if he has to speak with a client or if he has to speak with a colleague, if he gets hired now, I think he can rise to the occasion and speak in French. So you should take that with a grain of salt. If you could give your past self a piece of advice, Ethan, let's say 2 years before you started off school at EDEC, what would it be?
It's a good question, and in fact, it's much easier to give my past self 5 years ago easier advice than it is to give 2 years ago.
Go ahead.
But we'll stick with 2 years, because actually I think it's more relevant. I mean, coming to EDEC was a complete change in my entire life. A lot of people didn't understand why I would make this choice. But I mean, just have confidence in yourself. Don't get discouraged all the time whenever someone has to switch to English to try to speak with you, because that means they value your relationship enough to make this change.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep going for it. I mean, there's going to be times you win, there's going to be times you lose, but if you never participate in the game, you're never going to get a chance to win. And so for me, we talked about business games I participated in and won, but we didn't talk about all the other ones that we didn't.
Right.
And so, I mean, you have to really just keep going at it. I mean, when, especially like when looking for jobs right now, you find companies and you find positions that you think you would really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are a universal person that you can work in those positions, and it's something that you believe you could be passionate about and make an impact. Go for it. I mean, adapt your story. I mean, there's no one else that can tell it besides you.
Right.
So don't be afraid to go out there and try to make an effort.
Mm-hmm.
when you come home and maybe it wasn't a great day, enjoy the French culture, have a glass of wine, try a new one every day, get some cheese. And sometimes the next time you go to a cheese and wine party with your friends, you might know a little bit more about cheese and wine than a French person. So it's kind of fun to see the changes in 2 years.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of this, Ethan. It is definitely will be helpful for American students who are applying or want to move over to France, because it gives an unadulterated perspective of what the job hunt is like in France. Thank you so much for taking your time. I wish you the best.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
I hope you liked that episode, guys. If you want to get in touch, please feel free to connect with me on my Patreon page. I'll see you guys on the next one. Take care.